The following message is brought to you by Charles L. King, Jr., pastor of First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If you need additional information, visit firstbaptistchurchwch.org.
The beauty of that song is that if you're dealing with a this, you've already got through a that. Come on, somebody. But it's this that's keeping you potentially from giving God the praise and giving God the glory. But with God, you can get through whatever your this is. And you don't need to compare whatever it is. Just know that with God, you can get through this. Amen. Transition. Most holy, precious, loving, giving, and forgiving God, we come to you, O Lord, right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for grace. We thank you for mercy. We thank you, Lord, for what's got us through whatever that was on yesterday, last week, last month, and down through the years. But Lord, we need the presence of your Holy Spirit to help us get through whatever our this is right now. And right now, Lord, we need to hear a word from you to get us through this that's on our minds, on our hearts, and our spirits. We also need you, dear God, to get us to where you are taking us. Lord, we know we're going to make it into heaven, but we don't want to get there anyhow. There's only one way to get to the Father, and that is through Jesus the Christ. So, Lord, we thank you for that awesome plan of salvation. Lord, this is the period that we are still in Lent. We are still remembering the journey of Christ to the cross. It was journey to the cross for the salvation of all mankind. So, Lord, no matter how hard it is for us, no matter what sacrifices we feel we've made, there is no greater love or no greater sacrifice than the love of Jesus was nailed to the cross for the sins of the entire world. Lord, we know the rest of the story, but Lord, we just want to say thank you. Even now, touch somebody's heart, the mind, and the spirit to let them know that not only do you care, but you are right there. Pray, Lord, though, for those who are continue to be bereaved, to those who are sad. We thank you for the presence of Sister Regina Shoulders, who's here today, and know that she's had tragedy upon tragedy, a string of things, but yet she's here today. Thank you, Lord, for the presence of all those who are here. We thank you, Lord, for those who continue to be struck by tragedy in their lives, a city all over the world. But Lord, it does not make you any less God. So show forth your power today to somebody who's dealing with unbelief and to somebody who's wondering, what am I going to do? Lord, I decrease. We all decrease, that you would increase in this house. And it's truly in Jesus' name, for Christ's sake, that we pray. Let every heart say amen. Two passages of scripture. First passage will be from the book of Luke, chapter 23, verses 50 through 52. The second will be from the book of John, chapter 19, verses 38 through 40. If you're physically able to stand, please do so. Thank God for all of our visitors and guests and whoever that might be. But most of all, we thank God for the presence of the Holy Spirit. Our coming would be in vain. It's good to see one another, but we want, somebody needs to see Jesus. Somebody needs to see some answers to questions. And somebody needs to be delivered right now. Some chains need to get broken right now in the name of Jesus. You all pray for me as I seek to move down this path of going deeper, that we might go higher. Luke 23, we're reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. It says, "Now, behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and just man. He had not consented to their decision indeed. He was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus." I'm going to tie it together in a minute. Now turn to the book of John, chapter 19. John, chapter 19, verse 38 through 40. It says, "After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus." Verse 39 says, "And Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came, bring a mixture of myrrh and alloys, about 100 pounds. Then they took the body of Jesus and bound it in stripes of linen with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury." Verse 38 again says, "After this, Joseph, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, hooked up with a man named Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night." This morning, with your prayers and by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we want to talk about and we want to uncover undercover Christians. You may be seated in the presence of our God. Undercover Christians. My brothers and my sisters, I've always been fascinated by the Secret Service. And although I've never had any desire to join a branch of the Secret Service, there was always something cool and something mysterious about this group of men and women, the black suits and the transmitters in the ears. Most Americans, of course, are aware that when the president visits a state, it's the Secret Service that arrives before he does. They check everybody out, as well as take the responsibility of securing the area where the president will actually visit. Of course, as cool as they look from time to time, we also have to admit that it's a very dangerous job. For the Secret Service must be willing to place themselves in harm's way to protect the president. They must be willing to give up their life to save the life of our nation's leader. Then again, I want to examine another type of Secret Service. Come on, somebody. On today, this Secret Service I want to call our attention to is actually more secretive and more mysterious than the branch found in Washington. I mean, Brother Moses, we can actually find some basic information about the Secret Service in Washington, D.C. We can actually fill out some necessary paperwork, Griffith, in an effort for employment with the Secret Service in Washington, D.C. However, there's another secret service that operates all around us. They are so secretive that we ordinarily don't even know that they're even around. Come on, somebody. As a matter of fact, I'm here to let you know that they're actually very good at what they do. Of course, the other Secret Service group that I'm going to call our attention to are undercover Christians. Lord, help me to preach this morning. This introductory books of the New Testament were actually introduced to two very influential men. And it's interesting to track their transition into faith and becoming believers. For you see, when we're first introduced to both of them, they remind us of many of those that we encounter on a daily basis. But if we are careful to study the scriptures and actually track the growth of these two men, we'll actually realize that there's something significant that had to happen in their lives. Sometimes it takes something significant to shake you up. Amen. Because although they began as undercover Christians, something happened in their lives. Therefore, the cover had been blown. Say with me through here, because we know, my brothers and my sisters, that when the law enforcement agency, especially in the Secret Service, when your cover is blown, come on somebody, you are in imminent and great danger. Let me first introduce to you the man by the name of Nicodemus, however. Nicodemus, we find, I hope you didn't close your Bible, we encounter him in the book of John around chapter 3. Back in John chapter 3, and I want you to turn in your Bibles back there so you can see what I'm talking about. First of all, Nicodemus, he was a devout man. He was a devout Jew. He was a member of the Sanhedrin. Therefore, he was a Pharisee. He was a cross, if you will, if you need it in modern day, he was a cross between a member of the Supreme Court and a senator in our country. He approached Jesus by night, and he approached him under the cover of darkness, and he was hoping for a secret meeting. But Nicodemus left somewhat disappointed because Jesus was not impressed with Nicodemus nor his credentials. As a matter of fact, I hope you turned in your Bibles, because I don't want y'all to hear King. I need y'all to hear the King of Kings. Come on, somebody. Because in John chapter 3, verse 7, the Bible says that Jesus said to Nicodemus, in essence, he said, Nicodemus, your problem is this. He said, you must be, come on somebody, born again. Come on somebody, I need some help in here. He said, you must be born again. See, while some folk might be impressed with your little title, Jesus tells all of us, I don't care if you call yourself pastor, bishop, minister, apostle, elder, deacon, doctor, usher, trustee, missionary, pastor's aide, choir, musicians, choir director. Whoo, somebody said, wait a minute, I heard somebody say. Somebody just said, whoo, he didn't call out the ministers and deacons' wives. I just said it. Amen. And somebody else is saying, let me just say, etc. Amen. He said, I don't care from the pulpit to the door, from left to right. The point I'm trying to make it is that your position nor your title can't save you. Amen, amen, amen. The church might let you hold a position. Church might give you an office. But Jesus said, you must be born again. Amen. Let me state that Nicodemus exits the scene in John chapter 3, and he disappears from the gospel narrative until after the crucifixion, found here in John chapter 19. And it's almost as if out of nowhere, it seems he re-enters the scene and goes then very public about his faith. So you got to ask yourself, what happened? What happened? See, in between jumping and shouting, in between last Sunday and this Sunday, in between your down through the years and your that and your this, life happens. Come on, somebody. I can't get no help in here. Amen. Exits the scene in John chapter 3. Disappears, if you will. You ever known anybody that just disappear? Just fall off. We'll see him for a while. Huh? To after the crucifixion. And it's just like he pops up and he re-enters. But he's not so secretive this time. I'm going to fix it. He's one of two Pharisees who actually now requests. I need y'all to help me in here. He requests to take the body of our Savior from the old rugged cross. Let me regress a bit and revisit this in a minute. Allow me now to introduce you to another man. His name is Joseph. Luke chapter 23 at verse 50. He resides in a town probably about 20 miles from north of Jerusalem. Joseph, this Joseph, he was a wealthy man, just like Nicodemus. He was also very powerful and influential, just like Nicodemus. We learned through our studies the word of God that, interestingly enough, Joseph was actually a colleague of Pontius Pilate. Y'all sit next to folk, you don't know who they associate with. You don't know who they affiliated with. He was a friend of Pontius Pilate. Therefore, you got to understand that he moved in some different circles. The gospel writer of Luke informs us that it was this Joseph that disagreed with the rest of the Sanhedrin ruling council's decision when they determined that Jesus was nothing more than a great actor. Amen. But watch this, watch this, watch this. Although he didn't agree with the council's ruling, it must be noted that he also didn't agree with Jesus either. God Almighty. Folk mad at folk because they don't agree with them. But that's folk mad at you and you mad at, they don't even agree with Jesus. We trying to fix folk and get folk right. They don't even agree with Jesus. Well, Pastor King, where do you get that from? Amen. How do you know that he doesn't agree with Jesus? It's in the text. It's right there in the text in verse 51. For the Bible says that this Joseph was waiting for the kingdom of God. Do me a favor and tell your neighbor, tell him, neighbor, we done hit the reset button up in here. We got to go deeper so we can go higher. See, the thing about this text is that while it reads straightforward enough, it's actually a difficult text to read and digest. For I believe what this lets us know is that his heart was open, but he elected to do nothing more than wait. God Almighty. Talking to somebody in here. Talking to somebody on the sound of my voice who Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, your heart is open, but you elect to do nothing more than wait. Why are you still waiting to give your life to Christ? Your heart is already open. Why are you waiting to commit to ministry or service? Your heart is already open. Why are you waiting to forgive or be forgiven? Your heart is already open. Why are you waiting to turn away from that person, place, or thing that's hindering your growth? Or worse yet, it's stealing your joy and peace. It's killing your spirit, and it's destroying your life. What are you waiting for? Your heart is already open. You already know what you're supposed to do, but you're waiting. Joseph, the same as Nicodemus, disappears until the death of Jesus. Joseph, again, was probably living in Jerusalem at the time of the crucifixion, but just like Nicodemus, something happened to this undercover Christian. Believe today that there are a whole lot of folk. I didn't say they stopped coming to church, but there's a whole lot of people who fall into the category of being classified as an undercover Christian. Like Nicodemus and Joseph, we've been introduced to here in the gospel of God. Amen. We allow our circumstances and we allow our situations in life to cause us to go underground, to cause us to fall away, to call us to stop fighting in the good fight, and we become undercover. And like Joseph, some folk have elected to do nothing more than wait. Today, I want to help somebody. I need you to come out. I need you to come out the closet. Amen. Amen. Perhaps I'm talking to somebody here today and you've decided that you don't want to follow Jesus anymore. Prayer to you is that when it's all said and done, that you'll come back into the marvelous light. Talking to somebody that if you've not stopped coming to church because you like the music, but you've given up on Jesus, let me notify you that he hadn't given up on you. And if I'm talking to somebody who doesn't know Jesus today, and what's keeping you from Jesus is because you say, I don't like what's happening at the church, whatever church. Jesus says, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. And for those of you who are here today, listen, that only love the Lord on Sunday and go undercover the rest of the week, come on, somebody. I want everybody to come out the closet. Amen. I mean, I don't mean no harm, but Brother Bell, I mean, we might as well all come out. Everybody else has. Let me just go there and say, everything and everybody done come out the closet. Deacon Farish, even the KKK, y'all don't hear me up in here, I can't get no help. Even the KKK done come out. What you mean? They ain't wearing hoods no more. They done come out. They don't wearing hoods no more. How come they ain't wearing hoods anymore, Pastor King? Because they want everybody to know exactly who they are. So if the KKK can come out because they want folk to know exactly who they are, surely, come on, somebody. First thing that we're going to have to do, however, other than just you wanting to be shook up by a shout, I got to teach you. first thing you're going to have to do to come out from being undercover is anymore is you're going to have to, number one, get closer. You got to get closer. Amen. What are you saying, Pastor King? Well, in Matthew 27, verse 55, Matthew 27, 55 says, and many women who followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, they were there looking on from afar. All too often, we stay undercover Christians because we stand too far from where things are really happening. Too many folk are keeping their distance from where the real power of Christ is located. Folks say, I'll go to church, but I won't get involved or participate. Or you'll say, I'll do a little bit, but it really doesn't take all that. But I've come to let you know that not only do you need to get a little closer to Jesus on Sunday, but we probably need to get a little closer to him every day of the week. We got to make sure that this is more than just a Sunday morning worship experience. Amen. Still got too many people. Amen. Still got too many people who are afraid that if you get too close, that your cover might be blown. Somebody might find out. Are you one of those Christians? Are you one of those Christians? Now, I dare not try to define or describe what one of those Christians are in the minds of some of those people, although I could probably speculate. But the point I'm trying to make is this, is that the closer you come to Jesus, the more that you'll actually understand and even enjoy his teachings and be able to apply them in your everyday life. Don't you let church folk keep you from Christ. And don't you even let church hurt keep you from healing in Christ. If you can just get a little closer to him, then you'll actually not only understand, you might even enjoy his teachings while you're trying to figure out why you don't enjoy church. Amen. Next thing I need you to do is not only do I need you to come closer, but the next thing I need you to do in order to keep from being undercover is get some help. Amen. Get closer and get help. One way to get closer to God is to seek out somebody that you can talk to about your faith. Here again in John 19, 38 and 39, it says this. It says, after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. Watch this. So he came and took the body of Jesus and Nicodemus. See how I tied that together? And Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came. Joseph was accompanied by Nicodemus. Nicodemus, the same one who encountered Jesus by night, teaching here, Holy Ghost. When these two undercover Christians come together, they were actually able to help each other go public about their belief in Christ. Key thing we're going to have to learn how to do is we're going to have to start avoiding more Pharisees. Amen. A Pharisee or a critic. Y'all got any critics go to y'all church? I don't know where y'all go to church, but y'all got any critics? See, a critic give you wrong advice. And a critic will encourage you to stay undercover. You don't have to go in there. You don't need to go to that meeting. You don't need to go to Bible study. A critic keep you undercover. But I need for somebody to stay around some folk who don't mind sharing the faith. I'm talking about some folk who are not only on Sunday, but every day of the week. Hook up with some authentic, some bold, some unashamed Christians who don't mind testifying and sharing that the joy of the Lord is my strength. Somebody who don't mind saying that I know who it is that woke me up. I know who it is that started me on my way. I know who put food on my table, clothes on my back. It's keeping me in my right mind. I'm only alive today only because of his grace. It's God who is keeping me, so I wouldn't let go. Make no mistake about it. You need to be around some of them kind of folk. Amen. First thing you're going to have to do to keep from staying undercover is you're going to have to, first of all, get closer. Next thing you're going to have to do is get some help. But the next thing we're going to have to all do is we got to get real. Get closer, get some help, but get real. Amen. Look again at verse 38. It says, after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus. Watch the text. For Joseph had allowed his fear of disapproval to keep his feelings for Jesus a secret. There are a whole lot of folk who are like that today. So you're afraid that if you talk about being a Christian, you're afraid you won't be able to keep running in the circles you're running in. Huh? I mean, if you act like a Christian, you're afraid that you won't be on the A-listers of invitees to all the what's happening now social events. Amen. But what had to happen was this. Joseph ultimately had to move according to his convictions. Everybody in here, from the pulpit to the door, from as far left to as far right, it's going to have to come to a point in your life and all of our lives when we merely simply stand on our convictions. That's it. Joseph ultimately came out the closet, deciding that he no longer wished to be an undercover Christian. Ending denial is the first step to recovery. You're going to have to see yourself for who you really are. And I'm talking to somebody who you need to stop fooling yourself, trying to fool others. There's somebody in here under the sound of my voice who even thinks that this sermon doesn't apply to them. Let me say to you, stop fooling yourself. It applies to every one of us in one way, shape, form, or another. How do I know? Because the Bible says that all have sinned. All have sinned. See, that just shook somebody up because they said, he ain't talking to me. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Stop fooling yourself. It applies to every one of us, including your pastor. Whatever that way might be, it doesn't mean that we are bad. And it doesn't mean that we've done bad. It just means that the Lord wants us to continue growing and to get and to be better. as I get ready to close, at Alcoholics Anonymous, in the AA meetings, tell me that those in recovery stand and they introduce themselves by saying, "My name is, and I am an alcoholic." Regardless of whether or not you've ever had to experience that type of program, the point I'm making is that the program won't work until the alcoholic recognizes the problem. Too many folk in denial. Too many folk who aren't getting closer. We got too many lone rangers in the church and don't want to get any help. And then we got too many folk who say, "Well, I've gotten close and I done gotten hooked up. Watch your hookups." And yet, but you ain't getting real. Got to get real. And before you try to dress somebody up and down about themselves, get real with yourself. Amen. Before you point out the flaws and the mistakes of everybody else, get real with yourself. Amen. In order for the program, the church ain't never going to be right till you recognize your own problems. Amen. It ain't going to work until you recognize the problem. And when somebody opens up their dark, hidden secrets, their stresses, their worries, their concerns, their faults, their guilt, their goals, their dreams, their desires, etc. And until you bring that all to the Lord, amen, until you bring it there, you can't get the healing that you need. The healing that needs to take place won't take place till you bring it to Him. Remember what Jesus said. He said, "If we confess our sins, He will forgive them." Our sins remain, in a sense, unforgiven until we confess. Let me fix that too. Remember, a sin is simply anything outside of the will of God. Even some good stuff you desire can be outside of the will of God. Just because you think it's good, God may say it ain't good for you and ain't gonna be good to you. Come on, somebody. And so He's delivering us, and we going down, up and down the street, kicking and shouting and fussing. And He said, "No, that's outside my will. You need to confess that thing." Amen. Let me ask you, what dark hidden secrets, stresses, worries, concerns, faults, guilt, goals, dreams, desires, etc., what is it that you have that just might be outside of the will of God that you need to confess on today? Coming to the altar doesn't mean that you're a bad person. I've watched Sunday after Sunday. We have altar call. And we got folk white-knuckling on the pew because they're afraid that if I come to the altar, that it appeared that I'm a bad person. No, you come to the altar and you saying, "I'm appearing that I want to be a better person." Amen. Coming to the altar doesn't mean that you're a bad person. It just simply means that you don't want to be undercover anymore. That you want it to be known publicly that I'm a child of God. Amen. And I'm seeking to get better, do better, be better as a disciple of Christ. Coming to the altar is simply saying, I confess that I have not always done my best, whether it involves my time, my talent, or my tithe. Therefore, I have found myself outside of the will of God. And Lord, I want you to forgive me. Coming to the altar is coming to the place for healing. Too many folk who are hurting and leave church hurting, and they blame the church. And God said, no, this is on you. Because the time for healing is to bring it to the Lord in prayer. Somebody saying, Lord, I want healing to take place in my life. Because I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Tired of hurting. And I know that when I hurt, the hurt people hurt people. But Lord, if I can get my necessary healing in my mind, in my spirit, in my body, in my emotions, I know that healed people heal people. Somebody saying, I don't want to hurt anymore. And Lord, at this point, I don't care who knows that I'm coming to you for help. Somebody, you've called everybody you know in your phone tree, and you're frustrated because you can't get the help you need. Jesus has said, I'm here. Somebody has gotten so frustrated that you've just walked away from the church. God has said, I'm still here. Stand out on the road with my arms stretched out wide, waiting for you, just like the prodigal son, to get to a point in your life where just might be, you might have to end up in a pig pen for you to come to yourself. In other words, something significant might have to happen in your life. Folk don't need to know everything that's going on. We don't know what happened to Nicodemus. Bible didn't tell us that. We don't know what happened to Joseph. Bible didn't tell us that. But it does show us that there was a reemerging after they had an encounter, something that happened in their lives. Somebody needs to know that it's time to come out. And God is saying, I don't need any more undercover Christians. It's the reason why the world is dying the way it is. Folk are acting like they are because they didn't know that even you could have been the angel of light. But you wanted to keep your light hid on the hill because maybe you didn't want to be asked questions. Maybe you didn't want to be viewed that way. Whatever it is, listen, I ain't ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Say about me what you want. All I know is reputation is what other folks say about you. And we're too long trying to struggle to live to reputation. And we're trying to do everything we can to be real to a reputation. But do all you can to keep your character and stand on your convictions because of your conversion. Amen? Amen. Sister Stephanie, I need you to come. Amen. I want you all to stand. The doors of the church are open, but it's going to be an unconventional one today. It's going to be an unconventional one today. I feel the need. Matter of fact, I got it in my pocket. I come because folk need some healing. They do. Folk need a touch. Folk need some help. And folk need some hope. struggling with circumstances, and we're struggling with situations, and yet at the same time, we hear sermon after sermon. So I'm opening up the doors of the church, but I'm opening up for anybody, whether you want to come to Christ, or you want to come to conviction, or you want to come just to lay it at the altar. I've come, and I'm going to touch and agree with you in the name of Jesus. Even as she sings, you need to recognize that it's because of who he is. Sing, Stephanie. You all play.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by First Baptist Church, West College Hill. If this word inspired you, please consider sharing it. We ask that you do not alter the content without permission. We invite you to firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Inquiries can be submitted at info@firstbaptistchurchwch.org. Our mailing address is 6210 Betts Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45224. Or you can call our offices at 513-681-1011. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message. First Baptist Church, West College Hill, reaching the world without sacrificing the message.